we were bankers. One of the things that we were for, we were the bankers, for example, for Webster Hall. We put the money for Webster Hall. I was chairman of the executive committee of Webster Hall. And we built this building here and a couple other apartment houses and so on. Well, this is our building company. We have various subsidiaries, all kinds of different companies. But anyway, my wife was a tenant in this building here. And I saw her come in one night. And I asked the manager whom we employed, you know, who is she, and so on and so forth. Because I was very much interested in the first place, she was very good looking, see. And the second place, he told me that she was a professor and so on. This young kid, you know. So I got to talking to her. And of course, we had such congenial thinking on these things, see. And particularly, we were at the bottom of the Depression, and I had lost a lot of money in the Depression, see. And so on, and I'm wondering how we could get out of it, and so on and so forth. And I told you that's one of the reasons I went to Chicago for Roosevelt's nomination, you know, in the convention, and so on and so forth. And she was very much interested. I told you that she was particularly interested. So my wife, at the bottom of the Depression, was very much interested in solving the Depression. And that is, she felt it was the duty of government to employ them in useful work, not just to rake leaves, but to do use, if it involved beautifying a park or making roads in a park or things like that, okay, see. But not, it wasn't just put them to work. It must be useful work. And because at that time I was very much interested on a national basis, Roosevelt had just been elected and so on and so forth, I knew some of the people in the Roosevelt administration. And so I particularly was very friendly with Leon Kaiserling.
The economist.
With Leon Kaiserling, the economist, that's right. At that time, Leon Kaiserling was the secretary for Senator Wagner.
Where was Senator Wagner from?
Well, he was senator from New York. He was a senator even before Roosevelt was, while Roosevelt was the governor of New York, he was a senator, already a U.S. senator from New York. And Leon Kaiserling, exactly like myself, was very much interested in liberal causes. The only difference was he came from a very, very wealthy family. He came from a family in South Carolina. And his father was one of the biggest growers. But Leon Kaiserling, graduate of Columbia University in economics, then went to Harvard Law School, and then came back to Columbia to teach economics with Tugwell. And as you know, Tugwell became one of Roosevelt's cabinet ministers. And Leon Kaiserling was very, very close to Roosevelt all his life. And Mary Kaiserling, his wife, who's at that time, name was Mary, what was her maiden name? I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, she was a secretary for Eleanor Roosevelt.
Huh?
And she's the one that really helped make a liberal out of Eleanor Roosevelt. Was Mrs. And this is before she married. Her father was very important. He was the first Jew that broke into the insurance company because he was a actuarian, I guess you would call him. And he was on developed actuarial tables of life and all that kind of stuff. And he became vice president of Equitable Life Insurance Company. It was the highest job that you had ever gotten in financing of any kind. It was Mary's father. And Mary went to the London School of Economics. She graduated London School of Economics in Dijon. She was also an economist. And later on, they got married, and they became our best friends, and they are. Leon died just about 6 months ago, but they were the closest friends at all Lowenthal's in the world are the Kaiserlings. That's going on. As a matter of fact, take this off the record, will you, for a minute. I'll tell you a story about last night. Let me start off again. I got to know, and I really got to know Eleanor Roosevelt fairly well. I traveled across the country with Eleanor Roosevelt, I guess, 4 or 5 times. I'm one of the founders of Americans for Democratic Action with Hubert Humphrey and Eleanor Roosevelt, Lem Kaiser, Arthur Schlesinger, and all these people. I'm one of them. As a matter of fact, I was the first national co-treasurer of Americans for Democratic Action. I had the Western Party of the United States, and so I had the Eastern Party of the United States. But I'm a founder of Americans for Democratic Action. But I got to know Eleanor Roosevelt, which we traveled on Jewish causes about it, and for ADA across the country. And my wife did, too, on several occasions with Eleanor Roosevelt. That picture that you see right there, that's a high point in my life. And I want to tell you who that is. The man there is Henry Morgenthau. Henry Morgenthau was Secretary of Treasury during all the Roosevelt administration, as you know, see. But Henry Morgenthau was also the actual chairman of UJA, of the United Palestine Appeal. I forgot which started in those days, United Palestine Appeal. He was, see. And that's his wife with him. And that's the picture when I became the first national chairman of sales for Israel bonds. There was a big affair at the Waldorf Astoria in New York. And the speakers were, as you can see the picture there, Golda Meir on one side, Eleanor Roosevelt on the other side, and myself, and Henry Morgenthau.
That is some company.
That's my company, see.
You have to take a better look.
Yeah. And I would like to tell you the story of a picture over on that side there. See that picture over there?
Yes.
Mr. Ben-Gurion handing me a book. And I want to tell that story because nobody knows that story. When the resolution was passed by the UN to create the state in the end of 1947, I'd seen Ben-Gurion. I see him every month or two, somewhere, either here or in Israel, New York or Israel. And we got to talking one day. Ben-Gurion, you know, loved books. He was very learned, very well read in the Greek and all these books, you know. And he said to me one day, he says, you know, printing was discovered in 1465, but the Bible was never printed in Jerusalem. It was written by longhand on scrolls and so on, but never printed. It had been printed in Italy, in Venice, and in Modena, and places like that. You know. So the first thing we do when we create a state is we print the Bible. See, that's a picture of Ben-Gurion presenting me one of the first 10 copies of the printed Bible, autographed by Ben-Gurion and autographed by Ben Tzvi, who became the second president of Israel. See, that's my daughter has that right now. And I'm very proud of that. See, or there you can see there's an autographed picture of Eleanor Roosevelt to me, and so on and so forth.
Tell us more about Eleanor Roosevelt.
Eleanor Roosevelt was so unlike her husband and such a wonderful human being. All of Eleanor Roosevelt's decisions were made is good for mankind. All of Franklin Roosevelt's decisions were, does it get me votes? He was a political animal. It so happened that a lot of times it coincided, the two of them did, see. But the governing factor with Franklin Roosevelt was, is it good politically? The governing factor with Eleanor Roosevelt is it good for mankind? And she was the most outspoken person. And she was lovable. And I'd like to tell a couple of stories. And by the way, these stories, Mary Kaiserling, at the 100th anniversary of the birth of Eleanor Roosevelt, about 7 or 8 months ago, Mary Kaiserling was the national chairman of the event, see? And Mary knows these stories. I would like to tell two stories about Eleanor Roosevelt, which she used then on this occasion. One of the stories was, we had a luncheon meeting, I think in Charlotte, North Carolina. Then we had a dinner meeting at Atlanta, Georgia. And our plane got in a little bit late. Our dinner meeting was around 6 o'clock, 6:30, for the big givers, you know. We had 3 meetings every place. For the first, the big givers, there's always a small dinner. Then for the next side, then the public meeting, see, you know, and then a big public gathering. So anyway, we got in a little bit late, see. It was about 5:45 when we got in. Our plane got in. And they were having trouble getting the luggage off the plane. So I said to Eleanor, you go over to their host for the dinner. you get the dinner started. Don't worry. Get your speech ready. And I was going to raise the money. She would give the facts of the case, and I've raised the money, see? So anyway, so she went off. Then about 15-20 minutes later, her bag came off, you know, and so I got the bag, and I rushed over. They left the man behind. He took me over to the house later and so on. And we got over, and when I get there, the dinner's already in session, see? And there's no Eleanor. So I go over to my host, and I says, "Where's Mrs. Roosevelt?" She says, "She's upstairs." I said, "What do you mean she's upstairs?" I says, "Where is she?" And so he told me where upstairs where the bedroom is. So I go upstairs to the bedroom, I knock on the door, I say, "Eleanor," I says, "Elliot." She says, "Come right in." When I come in, Ellen's lying on top of a bed with just a sheet over her. You know, she was so skinny, you know. You see all the bones and so. I say, "Eleanor, what's the matter? What's the matter?" And she says, "You've got my dress."
Oh!
Isn't that a wonderful story, huh? The other story I would like to tell about Eleanor, the Weston told Mary Skysling. Once we were on a trip somewhere, I forgot where it was, I think we were in Jacksonville, Florida, or somewhere like that. And we'd gotten through about 12 o'clock for the third meeting, you know, at midnight. The elder says, "You know, like, if we can get back to Washington," she said, "I got something to do early tomorrow morning. So see if there's a plane out of here, will you?" So I made inquiry. I found there was a plane about 2 o'clock in the morning out of Jacksonville for Washington, see? So we went to the airport, you know, nothing else to do. Went to the airport, and we were sitting there. She was a genius. She could, the moment she sat down, she closed her eyes. I don't care whether on a plane or wherever it was, see? But she knew everything was going on all the time, see? But anyway, so we're sitting there and so on. About that time, a man, a wife, and 2 children came in. Of course, everybody recognized her. Nobody else was in the airport at the time. The man thought, "You know, I'll take a picture of my wife and the kids, you know." So he lined them up, one kid here, one guy, and the wife standing behind. Just as he's about to take the picture, Ellen said, "Just a second." She takes each of the kids, puts one kid on one knee, one kid on the other kid, puts her arms around the wife, and says, "Now you take the picture." See? And oh, I always like to tell the story. On that particular trip, when we finally got into Washington, we're driving in from the airport. Well, no, this was that first trip this was. We were driving from the airport. We passed one of those hot shoppies. It was around 5 o'clock in the morning. He says, "You know, Ellen," she says, "You know, Ellen," she says, "I need any dinner." That's why she was in bed. She didn't need any dinner. She said, "You know," "I'm hungry." So we stopped at a hot shoppie, you know, on the road there. And, you know, who's there at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning? Truck drivers. The place is just jammed with truck drivers, you know, meat there apparently. So then she shook hands with everyone, with every one of them, you know. "What are you doing? What are your problems?" It was so typical of Eleanor Roosevelt and so on. But anyway, I had these stories over and over again with her. And the same with Coral Griffin Golda Meir. I must have 25, 50 letters from Golda Meir.
Before we start with Golda, I think we have to stop because I'm going to get a ticket.